Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Friday, May 23rd, and coming up in today's episode. Supreme Court set to examine plea for nationwide ban on betting apps or including them under gambling laws. India's objection overlooked during IMF's billion-dollar approval to Pakistan reveals sources. Supreme Court withholds sentence in POXO case after citing exceptional circumstances. And Harvard refuses to bow down as Trump administration bars international student enrollment. Betting apps flooding our advertisement space may soon face legal heat, as the Supreme Court of India has agreed to hear a public interest litigation, or PIL, seeking a nationwide ban on illegal online betting platforms. The plea also calls for strict regulation of fantasy sports and gaming apps, along with the enactment of a comprehensive central law to govern the sector. A bench comprising Justices Suryakant and N.K. Singh issued a notice to the central government today asking for its response. However, the court decided not to issue notices to state governments at this stage. The petition was filed by a man describing himself as a social activist and humanitarian and the president of Global Peace Initiative. He claimed the case was filed in the interest of public welfare, particularly to protect India's youth and vulnerable communities from the dangers of online betting. The plea cited an FIR registered in Telangana earlier this year, which named 25 celebrities, including Bollywood actors, cricketers and influencers, for promotion of these apps. The FIR claims that their promotion had misled users. The petition also referred to a news report linking the suicide of 24 individuals in Telangana to deaths accumulated through online betting. Filed directly before the top court, the PIL urged urgent intervention to prevent what the petitioner described as unregulated, exploitative and dangerous rise of online gambling, often disguised as fantasy sports or skill-based gaming. The petition argued that betting, whether online or offline, is a game of chance and not skill, and should therefore be treated as gambling, which is outlawed in several Indian states under the Public Gambling Act 1867. It also pointed to the lack of centralized legal framework to oversee such platforms. The petitioner further claimed he is a globally recognized peace ambassador, allegedly nominated for Nobel Peace Prize by several countries, including the US, Norway, and India. He also stated he has been involved in stopping major conflicts and rescuing over 300 orphans from the street children across the globe. The court will consider the matter further once it receives the response from the centre. Despite India's stand, the International Monetary Fund, or IMF, has defended its decision to approve $1 billion, which is over rupees 8,000 crore, loan disbursement to Pakistan, stating that the country had fulfilled the necessary conditions under Extended Fund Facility EFF agreement. The funds were released at a time of heightened tensions between India and Pakistan, including recent military exchanges following India's Operation Sindoor, targeting terror infrastructure in Pakistan and Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. According to government sources, as revealed to NDTV, India had earlier conveyed strong objections to several European countries regarding the IMF's financial assistance to Pakistan. Despite concerns, India's appeal to halt or reconsider the aid was ultimately dismissed. Officials noted that India made it clear that extending financial help to Pakistan, while it allegedly promotes cross-border terrorism, was both inappropriate and concerning. The IMF's explanation came shortly after Indian Defence Minister Rajnath Singh publicly criticised the $2.1 billion IMF bailout to Pakistan, calling it indirect funding to terror. The funding has been released in two installments under the $7 billion EFF programme agreed upon in 2023. Julie Kozak, director of the IMF's communication department, defended the decision during a press briefing, and she stated, quote, "Our board found that Pakistan had indeed met all of the targets. It had made progress on some of the reforms, and for that reason the board went ahead and approved the program." Ms. Kozak further provided details on the process, explaining that the first review had been scheduled for early 2025, and I'm quoting from her briefing on March 25, 2025. IMF staff and Pakistani authorities reached a staff-level agreement, which was later approved by the executive board on May 9th. That approval led to the disbursement. Addressing regional tensions, Kozak said, "We express our regrets and sympathies for the loss of life from the recent conflict. We do hope for a peaceful resolution between India and Pakistan." Meanwhile, the IMF has attached 11 new conditions to Pakistan's next tranche. These include parliamentary approval of ₹17.6 trillion national budget, a higher electricity surcharge, the removal of restrictions on used car imports. Other conditions involve long-term financial strategies and phasing out incentives for special technology zones by 2035. The IMF also warned that rising tensions with India could threaten the success of Pakistan's reform targets and broader economic stability under the current agreement. The Supreme Court has chosen not to impose a sentence on a man convicted under the Protection of Children from Sexual Offences or POCSO Act, citing extraordinary and unique circumstances surrounding the case. The ruling was delivered by a bench comprising Justice Abhay S. Oka, Justice Ujjwal Bhuiya, using the court's special powers under Article 142 of the Constitution to ensure complete justice. At the time of the offence, the man was 24 years old and involved in a sexual relationship with a minor. He later married the girl after she turned 18. The couple now lives together and even has a child together. The case had earlier reached the Supreme Court following an appeal against a Calcutta High Court decision. The High Court in 2023 had acquitted the man and made controversial remarks suggesting adolescent girls should control sexual urges, and stating that society considers them losers in such cases. These comments sparked widespread criticism. On August 28, 2024, the Supreme Court overturned that acquittal and reinstated the man's conviction. However, rather than proceeding directly with sentencing, the Apex Court ordered a fact-finding process to assess the current well-being and opinion of the victim. The West Bengal government was directed to form a committee involving a clinical psychologist, a social scientist, and a child welfare officer. Institutions like NIMHANS or TIS were also included in the recommendation. The expert committee submitted its findings in a sealed report. On 3rd April this year, after reviewing the findings and personally interacting with the victim, the court noted that she had become emotionally attached to the accused and was very possessive about her family. Quote, "She did not have the opportunity to make an informed choice earlier. The system failed her at multiple levels," the court observed. It further noted that while the law treats the act as a crime, the victim did not view herself in that light. Quote, "The society judged her, the legal system failed her, and her own family abandoned her," the court said. The court added that what traumatized the victim was not the act itself, but the prolonged legal battle, police involvement, and social stigma. In view of these circumstances, the Supreme Court decided not to impose a sentence, invoking Article 142 to deliver justice tailored to the complexities of the case. Harvard University is standing firm against the Trump administration's latest move, rejecting the decision to suspend its ability to enroll international students. The Ivy League institution described the action as unlawful and a retaliatory step that poses serious harm to the university community. A spokesperson from Harvard, Jason Newton, said in a statement on Friday, and I'm quoting directly from the statement, "We are fully committed to maintaining Harvard's ability to host international students and scholars who come from more than 140 countries and enrich the university and this nation immeasurably. We are working quickly to provide guidance and support to members of our community. This retaliatory action threatens a serious harm to the Harvard community and our country, and undermines Harvard's academic and research mission." Harvard highlighted that over 6,000 international students were enrolled during the 2024-2025 academic year, making up to 27.3% of the student body. The university noted that these students often pay close to the full cost of their education, providing a significant resource of revenue. The dispute escalates as the Department of Homeland Security continues its investigation into Harvard. Last month, the Trump administration froze $2.2 billion in federal funding to the university. Conditions were imposed to lift the freeze, but Harvard did not comply. Notably, the pro-Palestinian protests across the campus has been a thorn in the throat of the Trump administration. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said the administration's actions hold Harvard accountable for fostering violence, anti-Semitism, and coordinating with the Chinese Communist Party on its campus. She added, and I quote, "It is a privilege, not a right, for universities to enroll foreign students and benefit from their higher tuition payments to help pad their multi-billion dollar endowments. Harvard had plenty of opportunity to do the right thing, and it refused." As part of restrictions, Harvard lost its certificate under the Student and Exchange Visitor Program, barring the university from admitting international students under further notice. The Trump administration has issued six conditions that Harvard must meet to regain this ability. These include submitting all records related to illegal, dangerous, or violent activity by international students over the past 5 years. Harvard is also required to provide details of any threats, rights violation involving foreign students, as well as disciplinary records and footage of any protests involving non-immigrant students during this period. The university has yet to respond to the new demands, but has reiterated its commitment to supporting its international community as investigation continues. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.